Thank you, sweetheart. I trust you can all hear me. today we're going to look at a record in God's Word that after looking at more than what we're going to see tonight, I realized that it's actually another way of being a foreshadow of Jesus Christ and his coming, as you'll see. As far as the title goes, I simply call this one, Joseph, What a Faithful Believer. And you know what? So can we. We can be faithful believers. Now we're going to see a little bit about Joseph's life, but how he stood through the thick and a little bit of thin, but through the thick. And I'm going to start off, if you want to follow or you can just sit back and enjoy, in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to start in verse 1. And Joseph, what we're reading, this is shortly after he was sold into slavery by his 10 other brothers. And I thought about that. There's 5 siblings in my family. And to be honest with you, only one brother and I are a little bit further apart than the rest of the siblings. But that's 25% against the 75% of us who just really got along and loved each other a lot. Not that this one brother didn't, but we just had our differences. But still yet, that's 25% of the 100. And yet here, Joseph wasn't just sold into slavery, but his brothers gave him a hard time throughout his life. And that's 10 brothers. You figure maybe one would stand and say, no, he's good, leave him alone. But no, they were all of one accord with how they treated him, which wasn't good. But you know what? We're going to see Joseph's reaction and what he did. So we're picking it up shortly after he was sold into this slavery. Verse 1 says, And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now that's key right there. Right from the beginning, the Lord was with Joseph. And guess what, brothers and sisters? I mean, it's not about guessing. You know that Almighty God is with us today and forever. You can't be thrown into a washing machine with bleach and get the Lord out of you. It's not coming out. We have his presence forever. He's with us. So let that be a reflection of this. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now, I don't know if I would say that after being sold into slavery. I said, how's that prosperous? But God just giving us a heads up here. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. We have it again. And that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hands. So we see here that the Pharaoh noticed what was going on and recognized his prosperity. Verse 4, And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. So Joseph is already getting elevated from this slave by the Pharaoh to take care of his household. A slave. He didn't get someone that's been vice president for all these years or someone that's on the board of the cabinet. He went straight and recognized how Joseph was a good man and how he was prospering and how God was with him. So this is what he did. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house, and not just the house, in the field. What's in the field? Animals, crops, and what have you. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. That's having confidence in someone. And again, he's supposed to be this slave. And he knew not aught. He had saved the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So right here he's talking about he didn't worry about a thing that he had except what to eat, which someone else can take care of. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Uh-oh, someone's bird-dogging someone. And she said, lie with me. Here's the but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. It's obvious. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against the boss? He said, God Almighty. That's where his mind is. He's focused on what the Lord expects out of him, what he wants to do when it comes to the Lord's ways. So that's what he said, against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, he to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He went in the house to take care of whatever it is he had to do. And there was none of the men the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You see, right there in this verse, it doesn't say that Joseph said, well, let me just turn my back and ignore, or let me figure out something else I can do. What does it say? He fled. He fled. And that's what we need to do in our lives. When we get in situations, don't say, well, I can resist that, or I can close my eyes or plug my ears. If it's an environment that's not blessing you, that's tugging at your cloak, flee. Get out. Move on. Don't let yourself be caught up in that ambiance of temptation, but flee. That's what Joseph did. He fled. He got out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So right now she's building up her case to make herself look like she's telling the truth. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. This is the Pharaoh. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which you have brought unto this us, came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out, which is the right thing to do. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Well, not knowing the truth at this moment, sure he was going to be upset. Anyone else in their right mind would be. But the story goes on. And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Again, who's with Joseph?
The Lord.
So when he's in prison, I guess God's in prison with him, but he's still with him, all right? And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Sound like a familiar story with Paul. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Again, he's given charge of the prisoners now. Not just the Pharaoh's home. Now that he's in prison, the warden has seen how good he is and truthful, and he says, you know what, I want to keep you in charge here. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord, again, was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to what?
Prosper.
Next chapter. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. Now they're in trouble. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard. So they're going to the same spot that Joseph is at, where he's running things, so to speak. The place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So they're there for a little while. And they dreamed the dream, both of them. Each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. I guess this is a season for dreams, but anyway, they had some dreams. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? You see, Joseph could have just ignored and said, hey, I got my own troubles. I'm locked up in here like you. But he took the time to be compassionate toward these two guys, and he noticed something wasn't right in their lives. So he asked them what's going on. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So this is good news to this guy, the interpretation of it. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto the Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Another receipt, and please remember me and do me a favor. When things go well for you, mention me to the Pharaoh so he might get me out of this place. That's what he's telling him. So the guy says, okay, no problem. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, hey, I also was in it. It was in my dream. And behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh off of thee. Not such a good interpretation, but yet that's what he was telling them what it meant. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his leadership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but hanged the chief baker, as Joseph interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The Pharaoh's cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought, which was sad, because Job said, at least say something about me, you know. You can do that, couldn't you? Chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed and be another dream, folks. Let's see what this one turns out to be. Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, or cows, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Yeah, I probably would have awakened too. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up, 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So right now he's in a quandary. He had these dreams, and it really caused him to wake up a couple of times, yet no one could tell him what they meant. Now remember that the baker was asked to mention his name when he saw the Pharaoh, and yet he forgot him. But let's see what is remembered. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into the Pharaoh. He's probably saying, I better look good if I'm going to go before the Pharaoh. Maybe he can get me out of here. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So they did mention him and what he had done. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they did feed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and beheld 7 ears come up, 1 stalk full and good. And behold, 7 ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto the Pharaoh, the dream of the Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. and the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showed unto the Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in all or in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. So of all the good they had for the first 7 years, when the 7 years rolled around, the famine started striking, it caused them to forget all about the good times, because what do I have today? Nothing. Verse 32, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Who do you think that's going to be? Reading what we've read so far. Take a wild guess. Joseph, you'd be right. You'd be right. Verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt, as 20% of everything that they've gathered, in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. That land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of the Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man whom the Spirit of God is? The Pharaoh recognizes that. He recognizes that, which is a good thing. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Something nice to be said about you. And it says these things about Joseph, but now we're talking about Joseph's new life. This is his new life, because all that he's proven to him because of God being with him. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Wow. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So now he's given him charge over all the land, all of it. I'm the only one who's above you. What you say goes. 41. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. So he put that ring, which means, hey, I'm in charge here. Gave him nice clothing, gold chain around his neck, to let him know that you are now going to be taking charge over the household of Egypt. 43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now there's a lot of stuff that we've read already that just caused me to see the foreshadow of Jesus Christ coming. We say that every man shall bow unto him, right? And there's other things, if you've caught it along the way, that are like a foreshadow. Jesus Christ went through a lot of stuff. You know, he was a slave in his own right. And yet, God was with him. God said, you are going to redeem my people. Joseph redeemed those people who were in famine through the wisdom of God that was in him. We have that same wisdom in you and I. When you get stuck or you're in a dead end, stop trying to figure it out yourself and remember, God is with me. Father, what can I do for you? this day, for tomorrow is not here yet. Yesterday is past. What can I do for you this day? And you know what? You approach God with a humble and meek heart, he'll show you in his timing, but he'll show you. And that's what Joseph did all along. 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Wow. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath or Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years. That's something else that reminded me of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's ministry started when he was 30 years, right? So you can see these parallels. And I've been told the Old Testament is a foreshadow of things to come. And when I read this record, and more than what we're reading tonight, I just got goosebumps thinking, wow, Father, thank you for giving us like a trailer of Jesus Christ coming, right? Where did I end? In 46? Yeah, 47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, he laid up in the same. So he started to stock up that 20%. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering it, for it was without number. In other words, he kept keeping records, but there's so much to measure. He couldn't keep count of it anymore. He probably was getting close to a trillion. And what's after that? You know, but still yet, it was piling up like the sand on the sea. That's a lot of corn. That's a lot of harvest. Verse 50, And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. And Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Now these two sons, they're not just a name he grabbed out of a hat. He grabbed them to honor Almighty God, because in a minute you're going to see what the names meant. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And it means, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. That's why he named him Manasseh. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, meaning, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Wouldn't you think you'd be fruitful where everything is going smooth and your business is running right? But it says in the land of affliction. And why did God do that? To show the ones who were afflicting him, the ones who put him in prison, the ones who were the bad guy, no matter what you do, my son is going to prosper. So much so that you're going to put him in charge. How do you like those apples? 53, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to the Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. Ain't my problem. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. So you see, even though things weren't going well, Joseph received wisdom and knowledge from God to store up this food. Even though the Pharaoh was saying, what do you mean store up the food? We need to eat. He says, we know that. We got plenty of food to eat. But like I told you in the interpretation of the dream, the famine's going to come. And you sit here and eat and have late night snacks and parties and barbecues and stuff. What are you going to eat then? So the Pharaoh says, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Okay, do what he says. Do what he says. I recommend the movie, if you get the chance, you can find it on YouTube, and it's called Joseph. But you need to watch the 1995 version. It's not in all this color and, you know, bells and whistles, but it depicts the whole story. It's really, really well done. So grab some popcorn and something cold to drink. It's about 3 hours long, but you really won't recognize it being that long because of how good the movie unfolds the story with pictures and actors. There's a couple of actors that can't, their names don't come to me right now, but they're well known. But they do a pretty nice job of telling the story of Joseph. But the bottom line is, what I learned from this record is, some of you know that I've had this gout and I haven't been able to walk for a week, but I had read this record and looked at it before my gout came. So when my gout came, my human instinct was to say, oh man, what am I, grumble. I said, whoa, what did Joseph go through? Gout? Really? If you would have said, okay, I'm going to give you a choice. You have to pick one. 13 years of slavery or 1 week of gout? Gout? But that's just me. We all have problems, great or small. And I know that a lot of times we think, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. But you know what? You will. Because who's with us? God Almighty. I've seen that, not just in my life, but in Jeffrey's life, Alta's life, Tom's life, Lena's life, my beautiful princess and bride's life, Ted, Judy, Sally, the kids, Kathy. I've seen God in your lives. And if I can see it, I know you can see it. And if you can see it, why would we not ask for his help? What he did here in the record of Joseph was a big deal. And poor Joseph, I'm thanking God for causing me to be born in the time frame that I was born in. But he puts those records in for our learning, for our understanding, that no matter how bad we things get, more times than not, they're never as bad as some of the records in God's Word that he shows us so that we can learn from them. Not that we can learn, okay, how can I toughen myself up when that happens? No, but to rely on him. To rely on Almighty God. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to situations. Nothing. And God has an answer for everything. We just have to ask. We have to ask with faith, with believing hearts. And when you do, expect great things to happen. Now, let me close by saying this. Finally, how strong and faithful are we when we're tested in this life? Question mark. Whether for a moment or for longer periods, who do we trust and look to? Is it ourselves? Or do we stay faithful to Almighty God, our Father, who never, never leaves us? Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing me, first of all, to see this record and to enjoy this record, because it's not just a nice story, but it's the truth. It's a record that shows how you were with Joseph and others and how you delivered him time and time again. Because we all know that it's not deliver us from a situation one time and we're good for the rest of our lives. No, there'll be other things that come up. But instead of trying to figure out what they're going to be, let's enjoy the peace that you give us today. Let's enjoy knowing that you and Jesus Christ are in each one of us. Let us enjoy the fact that we shall overcome, Father, because as it says, greater is he that is in us than the knucklehead in the world, Father. So I just pray for everyone's heart here this evening that they really got a lot out of this record and that they can also be reminded of who they are and who we have. After all, you created the universe, Father, so what's a little bit of gout or whatever in our lives going to stop us from doing? So I just thank you on behalf of my dear brothers and sisters. I love them like I know you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.